Dear Lord, please would you give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts that love you. In Jesus' name, amen. That was a great job. Well done, everyone. Thank you very much. That was a difficult reading, wasn't it? It was difficult for a lot of reasons. That is, grown-ups, one of the most gut-wrenching passages in the Bible, isn't it? Did you feel uncomfortable as we read it? Well, as we look at this true story from the Bible, God wants you and me to know, among things, that he provides. We saw that swap, didn't we? We saw he provided a lamb instead of Isaac. He provides the sacrifice that Abraham and Isaac desperately need and that you and I desperately need. God told Abraham, I will provide a child for you. He was a son who was going to be Abraham's heir. A son who would receive everything that God had promised. You see, God made some really big promises to Abraham. But they all rested on Abraham having a son. So God promised, you're going to have a son. Grown-ups, we saw this last week in chapter 21. After 25 long years of waiting, Isaac was finally born. God promised a son. God promised that Abraham would be the father of a great nation. He would be a father of more people than there are stars in the sky or sand on the seashore. Who's been to the beach before? Have you ever tried to count the sand? Yeah, what did you get up to? 10 pieces maybe? There are so much sand on a beach. God told Abraham he would have more descendants, more people than there is sand on the beach. But for that to happen, he would need a son. Next thing God promised was that he would inherit a land. It was going to be the promised land, the land that God had taken him to, land God had called Abraham out of his homeland to go to this place. But for that to happen, Abraham needed a son who would inherit it. Last thing God promised was that Abraham would have a blessing, that God would bless Abraham. And that through Abraham and through his people, he would bless the whole world. They're pretty amazing promises. They're amazing promises for Abraham. They're amazing promises for you and me. But for all that to happen, Abraham needed a son. God made big promises to Abraham. And the big question was, can Abraham really trust what God had promised? Would he provide the son that Abraham needed? Will we trust that God will provide? Because what will happen if we take the son away? What will happen to those promises? What do you think? The whole tower will fall over. Should we try? Can I have a volunteer? Who hasn't been up? Do you want to come up? Great, thanks very much. So we're going to try and take the sun away and see what happens. Do you reckon you can do that? Good job. Oh, no! Oh, super. Well done. Thanks very much. Put that down. If you take the sun away, then what's going to happen to the promises? What is going to happen to all those amazing promises that God had made? They come crashing down without a son. Where will the descendants come from? Without descendants, who will go into the promised land? Without a son, how can there be a blessing? We're going to dive in. Grown-ups, we are on page 19. If you have a Bible, do keep that open. We're going to look at verse 2. God said those horrible words that we hear to Abraham. Take your son, your only son, which son? The son whom you love, and offer him as a burnt offering on a mountain. And we think, how on earth can God ask something like that? Because not only does it look as though God's promises will be left in a heap if you take away the son, but God says that child sacrifice is evil and it should never be done. And the answer lies for us in verse 1. God is testing Abraham. He's not testing him to see if he's good enough. We've seen over time, haven't we, the last 2 weeks, Abraham is not good enough. But he's testing him to prove his faith. Not for God to learn, but for Abraham to learn something of his own heart through this test. Put your hands up if you've ever had a test. We have them quite often at school, don't we, here? Happen time and time again. We know that exam conditions aren't real life, right? We know that when you have a driving test, there is someone sat next to you telling you which way to turn, if you're going to go left or you're going to go right, telling you when you need to do your emergency brake. We know that there is someone sat right next to you who has control over pedals if you make a horrific mistake. It is not real life. You're on the road, you're amongst real traffic, but exam conditions aren't quite real. See, God doesn't want Abraham to kill Isaac. He was the son that God had provided. In chapter 21, verse 12, God said that his promises would come through Isaac. God wanted to train Abraham to trust him that he would provide, and that as he does that, he shows Abraham yet again, he is the God who provides the sacrifice that he needs. So Abraham gets up early, he takes Isaac, he goes 3 days' journey to this place, to Moriah. There is Isaac, there are two others with him, and after 3 days they arrive at the place. Abraham lays the wood on his son's back, on Isaac's back, and they climb up the mountain together. And we hear those painful words that must have just caught in the throat. Verse 7, Isaac says, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb? Where's the lamb for the sacrifice?" Grown-ups, after all the ups and downs that we have seen over the last few weeks, months with Abraham, with his faith, do you see how unwavering his faith is this time? He says to Isaac, no umming or ahhing, he just says, verse 9, God will provide for himself. God will provide the lamb. So Abraham builds the altar. He puts the wood on the altar. He puts his son down on top. And he raises the knife, and he is about to do the unthinkable. The moment has come. And it's really easy, isn't it, to think that Abraham must be in utter turmoil at this moment. Have you ever been on the verge of a panic attack, or maybe even in the midst of a panic attack? Someone recently said to me that it felt as though their brain was screaming at them. Maybe that's how Abraham felt. But there must have been a measure of peace too, because of what we see. Because he trusted the Lord. He said, God will provide. But even if Abraham had to go through and sacrifice Isaac, even if Isaac died, Abraham trusted that the Lord would bring him back to life. In verse 5, it says, Abraham says to the young men, to the two that he left behind with the donkey, he says, "Stay here, I and the boy, me and Isaac, will go over there and we will worship and we will come back." That verb is plural. It is "we will come back." Hebrews 11, verse 19, makes it crystal clear for us. It says, "Abraham believed that God was even able to raise Isaac from the dead." You see, by this time, Abraham has learned that God can keep his promises. He had promised that Abraham would be the father of a great nation. He promised the land to Abraham. He promised Abraham that he would be a blessing, and that through him, all the nations, all the people of the earth would be blessed. And it would flow out to the world. And Abraham believed that God would provide the answer to those promises, and it would come through the Son. And as Abraham brings the knife down, as he prepares to kill his son, God speaks to him. He calls from heaven, "Do not lay your hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And just as Abraham believed, he said God would provide. God does provide. He provides the lamb, the ram, in the thicket. A substitute in place of his son. So Abraham calls that place, "The Lord will provide. On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." You see, this is a story. It's a graphic story. It's a story that makes us feel very uncomfortable. It's a true story. It's a story about the Lord providing and Abraham believing. It's a story about a deep trust that we all need, that God is able to do exactly what he said he would do, that God is able to provide the sacrifice that you and I need. He is able to forgive sins. He is able to turn aside his wrath. He is able to give you and me new life. He is able to make those blessings flow out to the world, to you and to me. See, God's promises do come through a son. They come through a son that the Lord provides. And they come through the sacrifice that he provides. Because as we read this story, we can't help but think about Jesus. We can't help but think of that son, the only begotten son. The only son of God. And we can't help but think of the son that God loves. We can't help but think of a son who climbed the very same mountain that Abraham and Isaac did, carrying wood on his back, the wood of the cross, a son who can't run away, the Lord Jesus Christ, who doesn't run away because he is the sacrifice that you and I need, because he is the one through whom God's promises come, because he is the one through whom God's blessing flows as he wins us, as he forgives us, as he washes us clean, as he calls us to new life. Those words that Armand began the service with: God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, his only son, the son whom he loved, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So where does that leave you and me? I think two things for us to learn. Number one, trusting God looks like giving up the things that are most dear to us. If there is something that you love more than him, that is more precious to you than him, he tells you that we need to give it up. Not to actually sacrifice it. God would never do that. He never asks us to do that. He has provided the sacrifice you and I need. But to make him first in our hearts and not those other things. It's giving up the place that we've given it in our hearts. It's knowing that if I were to lose that thing that I hold really dear, it would be okay. Because I've got Jesus. Some of us have left very, very precious things following Jesus. Some of us have left family. Some of us have left a home. Some of us have left careers or relationships because Jesus says he calls us to follow him. He calls us to give it up as we follow him. And friends, it is always worth it. Trusting God looks like giving up those things that are most dear to us. Jesus says, we've been looking at this in Mark's gospel on a Wednesday night. If anyone would come after me, he must take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Trusting God looks like giving up those things that are most dear to us. Second thing for you and me to learn is great assurance. Because God has already given up the Son that he loves. Because God has already secured and paid the sacrifice that you and I need, the sacrifice for our sins. He has washed us clean. There is no greater sacrifice for him to make, no greater sacrifice that he could make. Nothing more that he could do for you. If you're trusting him this morning, just like Abraham, you and I can know that we are utterly secure in him. Even if he asks you to give up something that looks really, really hard for you. Even if he asks you to give up whatever it might be. It is something that he has already done. He has already given up his own son, his only son, the son whom he loves. And he did that for you. He did that for me. That he can bring about his promises to us. So like Abraham, if you are trusting him this morning, you can know that you are secure and safe in his hands. That his promises will come about. That you are secure. He has provided what you need. And he will bring about every single last promise that he has made. Let's pray, shall we? Romans 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Our Lord God, we thank you so much that you did not spare your own son, the son that you love, but you gave him up for us. Father, thank you that you did that. You paid the sacrifice that we need, the substitute that we require. You gave your son for us so that your promises might come about, so that we might know you, you might restore us, you might bring about your blessing to us. And we ask, Lord, that you'd help us to trust you wholeheartedly. As we look at Abraham, would you grant us that same faith? Father, would you help us to love Jesus and to follow him? In his name we pray. Amen.